Thank you. Good evening. Am I on? Good evening. You can turn your Bibles, please, to Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're reading from verse 38 and 39. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Father, we do commit this time to you, and we just pray that you will lead and guide, that your Spirit will speak to our hearts, and I pray, Father, that you'll help us just to respond in a way which is pleasing to you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So here we see the end part of Jesus casting out a devil out of the man from the gatherings. In verse 26 it says, And they arrived at the country of the gatherings, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Tonight I want to look at our relationship with our Lord. Our relationship with our Lord. Here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he met a man who was possessed by devils, and the scripture says that he was possessed by devils a long time. And then we see here in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And then he goes on, scripture teaches that in verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And we saw that Jesus cast the devils out. In verse 33 it says, Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And then when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. In verse 35 we see a changed life because of Jesus Christ. Verse 35 it says, Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Fear fell upon the people because when Jesus entered that city, he saw a man that was possessed by devils, and Christ had the authority to cast out devils, the devil out of this man. And fear fell upon all these people, and all of a sudden this man who the people knew in that country was a man that was possessed by devils all of his life. They saw him and they said, Wow, he's a changed man. His testimony just stood out and said, Wow, look at that man. He was affected by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a changed life. And today, tonight I just want to discuss our relationship with our Lord. I want to turn your attention to where the man was sitting. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. This man understood that because of Jesus, I am a changed man. I am a new man. I have a new life because of Jesus. And as we read earlier in verse 38, Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. This man, first thing I want to look at tonight, that this man had a desire. He had a desire to be with Christ. He besought him, the scriptures teach. You know what besought is? He begged him. He begs and he pleaded God, Christ, that he would be with him. Do you desire to be with your Lord? When was the last time you begged the Lord for his presence? When you said, Lord, I just want to know you more so. I want to feel your presence upon my life and I want you to lead and guide me. Do you have that desire? You think of the disciples when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ and they knew Him as the Messiah, they forsook all and they followed Him. No matter the cost, they had a desire to follow the One who was the Messiah. The One that they were looking out for all of these years. The One who was the Christ. Do you desire to be with Christ? The Scriptures teach that those that are in Christ, the new creatures, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a new life in Christ. And as a Christian, when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to be with Him. My friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you've experienced the new birth? When you've been genuinely born again? If there has been a time in your life where you have genuinely been born again, you've repented of your sins and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, there would be a desire to serve your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I look at the Scriptures and you can't deny the fact that there's a deeper kind of Christianity in the Scriptures than that what we see today. They were willing just to let go of everything that they have and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing tonight? Young people, are you willing to give your life up for Jesus Christ? You know, your life is not your own. If you're a child of God, you were born with a price, and that was with the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's saying tonight, give it all up for Me because I purchased you with My life.
Amen.
Young person, are you willing? Are you willing to say no? And as we heard last night, to lay aside every weight, say no to all of that and just stand up for the Lord. I challenge you tonight, if you are a new creature in Christ, and not only the young people here tonight, my friend, it should be our desire. We should have a desire to know Christ, to be with Christ. As this man, he said, now in 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought. He besought, he begged Him that He might be with him. We see a desire. Let's turn to John, please, chapter 6. John chapter 6, a desire to be with Christ. Do you have that desire tonight? John chapter 6, verses 66, we'll start from there. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He stood there, Peter, and he said, that we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? And do you know, as Christians, we should have that same thing. We should have say, Lord, where would I go? To whom should I go? To whom should I give my love? To whom should I serve? Other than You, the One that bought me with Your blood.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ should be our desire. We should breathe Christ. We should think Christ. We should act Christ. It should just be a flowing out of our presence. And everyone should look at our lives and just see the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's desire was to be with God. And although Peter, as we read his life in the New Testament, although he comes to a point where he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, if we go to John chapter 21, we see that Peter denied, yes, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stood bold, and he got to a point where he just went back fishing, as we're going to read here in John chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 to 7. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the son of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto Him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. The disciples were discouraged because the Christ who they confessed was no longer there with them. He was hung on the cross and he was crucified by his own people. And then he lay in a tomb. And at this time they were so discouraged that Peter said, I go fishing. And do you know what? Everyone followed. Everyone followed. And then we see, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that he was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. When Peter found out that it was the Lord, what did he do? He let go of everything, he forsook all, and he made a run for Christ. His desire was to be with Christ. When he realized that Jesus Christ was in his presence again, he said, I'm not doing this anymore, I need to go and be with Christ. And he jumped in the water and he went. And what a desire that he had. Although he was discouraged, although he entered into that valley of his walk, of his Christian life, you know, at the end of the day, when he knew that Jesus was there, he desired to be with him. And he let go and he went. And I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe your heart has grown cold to the things of God. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus is risen again. He is alive. And he is coming again. Just read the book of Revelation. You know, when you read the book of Revelations, you no longer see the Lord Jesus Christ as a suffering Savior. No, you see Him as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords who will come back victoriously one day. And you think of it, and you say, wow, what a God I serve. This Lord Jesus Christ is my God, He's my King. And why do we have any other desire other than Him? Why is it, brethren? We go back to Luke, please. Our relationship with our Lord, first thing we see, the desire. His desire was to be with Christ. Next thing I want to look at, next principle of our relationship with our Lord is our duty. Our duty is to be obedient to Christ. And here we see, in fact here, the man that had the devil cast out of him, verse 38, he besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now we see this man, his life was changed. And we see that this man fulfilled his duty. He was obedient to Christ. Although he besought to be with Christ, he besought him, he begged Jesus to be with him, Jesus said, no, you go back, you return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And what did he do? He didn't only return to his house, but he returned and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And what was the result? That the whole city was waiting for Lord Jesus to come back. And many would have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that day. And this is the thing, brethren. Our duty in life is to be obedient to Christ. To be obedient to His Word. To be obedient in publishing what He has done in our lives. We look at the month ahead. And we've got so many outreaches happening. We've got the ladies meeting and we're going to have Christmas coming up and all of these things. And the one point why we have these things is to publish what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It is our duty to be obedient to Christ. And obedience means that we fulfill the Great Commission, and that is leading souls to Christ, baptizing them, discipling them, that they may go forth and do the same. Our duty as Christians is to be obedient, and be obedient to the Great Commission. And this man, one man, I think of one man who was a changed life for Jesus Christ, what effect he had on the city. And I see this as the same God that we serve today. One life. One life to offer to Jesus Christ. And this one man, he made a difference. He made a difference in the life of a whole country, whole city. Why? Because he published what Jesus Christ did for him. And maybe you have problems sharing your faith with people. Maybe you do. But you can share one thing, your testimony. If you're a child of God, you can share your testimony. You can say, this is what I was before. This is what happened. I met Jesus, and this is what I am now. And do you know what else it is? A testimony with your life. Young people, your life is the greatest rebuke to the unsaved. If you stand up and live a holy life for Christ, your friends are going to look at you, your schoolmates and the people at work, they're going to look at you and say, what is that all about? And that you have no choice but to preach Jesus to them. Because you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. That's why I stay pure until marriage. I'm a Christian. That's why I don't do drugs. I'm a Christian. That's why I don't smoke. I'm a Christian. That's why I don't speak filthy language. I'm a Christian. That's what I am. That's what I'm supposed to be. Our duty is to be obedient to Christ. And if you can't preach the gospel to them, preach your life. Please preach your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I think of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says this, the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And that is what Christ said the greatest commandment was, that we can hang all the law on, that we need to love God. And this is where we fail, brethren. To be honest, this is where we fail. Our desire for the things of this world are more, we desire the things of this world more than we desire Jesus Christ. One person put it this way, we must be very careful not to allow the love of other things, even good things, to quench our love for Christ. And he goes on and he says that the Bible warns us not to love the world in 1 John 2:15, love money in 1 Timothy 6:10, and not even to love father and mother more than Christ. Think of these things that we've just mentioned. The world, money, father and mother, even husband, wife, child, brother, sister, more than Christ. Brethren, where do we sit? What have we placed before the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? What is it that we've placed before the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? We looked at the desire to be with Christ, for our relationship with our Lord to be, for us to have a close relationship with the Lord, we need to have a desire. And that desire is to be with Christ. And our duty is to be obedient to Christ. And I want to discuss now, if you'd return please to Revelation chapter 2. I want to discuss the downfall. The downfall. The downfall is leaving Christ, saving the best to last, really. Downfall, the negative. Leaving Christ. And here we see in Revelation 2, let's read about the church there at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Here we see the church there at Ephesus, and the angel of the Lord said to him, was John wrote, and the time that John was writing this was in around AD 95. And the church, the letter to the church there at Ephesus that Paul wrote was in AD 61. New Testament history is coming out. So it's been 34 years since Paul wrote the letter to the church there at Ephesus, and John's writing to the church there at Ephesus that God is telling him write these things. And God commends the church there at Ephesus. He said, thou canst not bear them which are evil. So they were a holy church. They didn't like evil, and they stayed away from them. So in holiness, this was a church that was holy. It says, they tried them which say they are apostles and are not. So this was a doctrinally sound church. It was a church that believed in doctrines and said no to false teachers, and they were safe, in firm in their doctrine. And then he says that they were faithful and a hard working and a serving church. He says, for my sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And this sounds like a pretty good church, praise God. And God commended the church for what they did. But then let's go on from verses 4 and 5. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Although the seven churches were actual churches there in John's days, but they also represent the types and conditions of churches in all generations. But we're going to apply this today because we see that in 34 years, this church was built up. It was doctrinally sound. It was a holy church. It was one that labored firmly. They had good ministries and they continued to preach the gospel out there. But the Lord Jesus Christ said this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. And the danger of this is this. In verse 5, we see that God tells them to do what? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. This was sin to the Lord. This was sin to the Lord, that the fact that these ones were doctrinally sound, great, had great programs in their church, great. They were a holy church. Excellent. Praise the Lord. We say praise the Lord to that. They were a faithful church. But one thing that they failed in is that they left their first love. And what this should bring a fear over us, brethren. Because it is so easy for us to lose our first love. To leave our first love. It is so easy for us, even in the months to come, to get busy serving God. Get busy in ministry. Get busy in all the activities that come our way. But in our devotion to Christ, in our loving, in our devotion and our desire of our first love, we just neglect. And God is telling us, remember from whence thou hast fallen and repent. Repent. And it has been 34 years since. So there, if you think back in time, in the church of Ephesus, they would have started winning souls to Christ. So first generation Christians would have been won to Christ. And during those 34 years, obviously those people would have had children. Praise the Lord. If God blessed them with them. And then they would have raised the children up. So these would have been second generation Christians. And John was just encouraging them to say, you've left your first love. Because maybe they didn't experience the hardship of their parents. Maybe they didn't experience the trials and the testings. It was easy for them because the persecution was growing less, and maybe the parents did all the groundwork for them. And young people, let me tell you, do not Leave your first love. Do not leave your first love. And that is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, left here, it implies an intentional, not an accidental act. They intentionally said that no to God, no to Christ, and they got busy serving God, and they had no desire to spend fellowship with their Savior. How's your quiet time going? And it's the first thing that we neglect. Going through Bible college, that was the first thing I neglected. It was so bad, and God rebuked me about it. And then I got right with God, and I said, I'm going to wake up early, Lord, and you're going to have to get me up. Because I really can't get up that early. So you're going to get me up early, and I'm going to spend time with you. Why? Because I don't want to come to church serving God and thinking that I'm doing something right because I'm involved in every single ministry of the church, and all of a sudden I'm not spending time with my Savior. What a danger. What a danger, and fear should fall upon us, brethren. Do you know why? Because the Lord said, you have fallen. Yes, He commended them for their good work, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, you've neglected me. You've neglected spending time with me, fellowshipping with me. We need to see that as a sin. We need to see it for what it is. Because if we don't see it the way God sees it, we're just going to continue on, brethren, going through our Christian lives, getting involved in ministry, serving God, worshiping Him, and then all of a sudden we've neglected our first love. And tonight God is just encouraging us to repent. To repent of this sin. Because the thing is, we can be all doctrinally sound. We can be a church that preaches against evil. We can be a church that is holy and upright and take the higher ground. But we can all come to church not having a quiet time this morning. And God wants us to repent. You've fallen. I've fallen if I do that. Luke chapter 8, please. I just want to read verses 38 and 39 again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. We see the principle of our relationship with our Lord. We need to make sure, first and foremost, that our desire is to be with Christ, like this man desired to be with Christ. He besought Him. And I don't know how far you are from Christ this evening, but my friend, I just encourage you to desire to be with Christ and get right with Him. The duty that we have, the second thing that we saw, is to be obedient to Christ. And one thing that we touched on is the Great Commission, and just to publish. And you know what? We just need to get busy gossiping the gospel, brethren. We need to just stop gossiping about everybody else and just gossip the gospel. Truly? Because it's time that we just stand up and we publish Christ. I look at Sydney and I think, wow, what a mission field. It is the greatest mission field I just think of the endless possibilities of how many nations, how many countries could be reached with the gospel. It's just right here, we don't even have to catch a plane. So we need to get busy, brethren, just publishing. And I just encourage you, just publish your testimony. Just publish what God has done in your life. And even if it's the smallest thing, I have the brother in this church that just called me up one day and he just published God's provision about one little thing. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. That was just so encouraging to me. Let's publish what God does for us. And thirdly, we looked at is that the downfall and leaving Christ. And the danger of leaving our first love, brethren. I just want to encourage you, if you've left your first love, let's get right with God tonight. And so that we can press on for the Lord. That when we serve Him, it just counts. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. And He said, abide. Abide. If we don't abide in Christ, we'll not bear fruit. And abiding is to stay near. It's to dwell, to stay close beside. We need to abide in Christ that we may bear fruit. And this downfall is impacting our churches, brethren. It is. It's impacting our churches because we don't see it as sin. We don't see leaving our first love as sin, and we need to. Let's pray.